Hi everybody. It's Movie the Podcast, and it's a two-man show this week. It's me and Alec, your favorite parts of the show. 'Cause Sean forgot he's gay or something. I don't know. I don't know why Sean's not on. And then Gogs, his wife, is out of town, presumably with her superior mate. We can only assume. So it's just me and Alec, the only dedicated people on the show. Everyone else not dedicated at all. Just terrible people in general, to be honest. I mean, I can say that now because they're not here, but just all character-wise, awful, awful people. But we watched ISS, which stands for International Space Station. They should have given it like a cleverer title. Like ISS stood for like something. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Oh,
Like if,
something else.
yeah, like International Scary Station or something.
Oh.
Right? Like there you go.
And an international spooky scary.
International Spooky Scary. There you go. Even though this isn't really a spook 'em up. This is more of like, this is like a tense kind of
Yeah, it wasn't
a
as like
thriller.
scary as I had thought. From the
No.
trailers. It's very tense, though.
Yeah, the trailer's slightly misleading, I would say, a little bit. We'll get into it, obviously. But yeah, based on the trailers and then based on what we got, I was slightly disappointed. But I thought it was gonna be more like, I don't know. I thought it was going to be a little bit different tone. But we'll get into it. What did you watch this week, Mr. Alec?
I watched three things, but I can't remember what one of them was.
Three
Cause I
things.
know we watched two movies on Saturday night, cause Saturday? Or Friday night, cause we got high. I can't remember what,
Nice.
I forget what one of the movies was. The other movie was Grandma's Boy.
Hell yeah. That is probably the perfect movie to watch while high. I don't know if there's a better movie to watch while high.
That movie, it's really funny. But like
Oh
you
my God,
can,
yeah.
that movie's the
Amazing.
perfect way to tell why none of Adam Sandler's friends became as popular as him.
You're right.
Because that guy in the lead is marginally like awful.
Oh, he's in any other movie. I mean, how is that guy like a lead in anything? You know what I mean? Like he's
Yeah.
perfectly suited to be like just a guy in a movie, but not the lead. Like
Yeah.
he's not the, and it's funny because like on paper, right? I feel like, because all those guys are friends. The clear lead should have been the guy that plays the like drug dealer guy, because that guy's like very charismatic. And he's kind of handsome. Like that seems like the lead guy for real. And then I mean, I would argue that he steals the movie. Like all the scenes with him are fucking hilarious.
Oh, he's got the monkey.
Oh my God, the monkey. Yes.
And he's trying to, oh, here's the monkey and he gets a lion. It's the king of the jungle, brah.
That guy's hilarious. I have no idea what any of these people's names are.
That
So.
guy, I'm looking up his name right now because I can't remember it. The lead is Alan Covert.
His name doesn't even sound like a lead name. Alan
No.
Covert.
So the drug dealer's guy is, in the movie, his name's Dante. His real name is Peter Dante.
Oh, okay.
But he, I just saw a TikTok about him. He got canceled for something
Oh, no.
and
Well, of
Happy
course.
Madison like immediately dropped him from all their movies.
Oh,
And he
Jesus.
doesn't do their stuff anymore. But I can't remember what it was that he got canceled for.
Sure, it was bad.
Sure, it wasn't great.
I'm sure it wasn't good. Yeah.
For Happy Madison to get him out. Like, oh yeah.
Yeah. It's
Oh,
like,
he got kicked out of a hotel in
uh-oh.
2013 after calling the staff the N-word.
Oh my God. Come on, dude. Like, what the fuck? Like, come on, man. Like, what are you doing?
But at least to be fair, he hasn't worked again.
Yeah,
Like a lot of people say do stuff like that. Look, like Look at Michael Richards. Like, people were coming to his defense after he said it. Like,
yeah, but I mean, like, Michael Richards was Kramer on, like, one of the most popular shows in history. Like, this guy was, like, the second hand in Grandma's Boy. You know what I mean? It's a little, it's not as prestigious. You know? He was in a lot of Adam Sandler movies. I think he's in all of them up until that point.
You think it would be easier for him to, like, slide back in, though, because nobody knows who he is.
Yeah. But also, like, nobody's busted down his door for, like, roles either. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. Except for Adam Sandler.
Except for Adam Sandler.
Grandma's Boy is funny. There's a TikTok. Yeah. There's a TikTok going around where I forget who's interviewing Nick Swardson.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, at some point he sat down at some meeting about something, and, like, the owner or former owner of Blockbuster was there.
Oh, yeah, I saw this clip. Yeah.
For, like, 3 years, your movie was, like, the most stolen movie in our company. Like, people just kept stealing Grandma's Boy.
Well, I feel like that Grandma's Boy kind of represents, like, a bygone era, right? Because that was, like, the direct... Well, I mean, it did have a very small theatrical release, but that got huge on DVD. You know what I mean? Yeah. That was a movie that... No, I don't think anyone saw that movie in the theater. And then it came out on DVD, and then everyone saw it. I feel like that movie, what's the one with Scotty Doesn't Know? Is that Euro Trip? Is that the name?
Yeah, Euro Trip. Yep.
That's another one like that. Like, I feel like there was a lot of those kind of, like, mid-tier comedies that, like, they just went, like, nuclear on the DVD. You know what I mean?
Oh, it made $6 million in its theatrical release, which is way more than I ever guessed.
That's absurd. I would have never guessed that. I would have been $20. And
whenever this thing was posted, over $50 million in DVD sales.
Yeah, that's nuts. And it probably cost like $2 million to make. Like, there's probably, the budget is probably like minuscule.
Oh, yeah. It's full of fun cameos.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
The villain. Air quote is a dude who thinks he's in the Matrix.
I was just about to say that's like also one of my favorite parts of the movie. It's like, I am a robot. Also, that guy is great in Dodgeball.
Yeah.
I would fit that into that category of movies too. I know that was slightly successful in the theaters, but, like, I feel like that's another one that got, like, blown up once it hit the home market.
That movie, Dodgeball, is, like, incomparable. It's so funny.
I think it's one of the best comedies of, like, the early 2000s. Like, I think that movie's absolutely hilarious.
Todd Phillips, if I recall, who's making Joker movies now.
Oh, we get to talk about that a little bit later.
I wish I could remember what the other movie we watched was, because I remember finding it hilarious. But I can't remember what it was. The third thing I watched, I do remember what it was, is the new documentary on Netflix, Will and Harper.
Oh, yeah, we were talking about that, I think, in real life. Yeah. When we went to watch that tragic Orioles game.
Yeah, when we were fighting depression.
Oh, man.
Battling depression the whole time. Yeah, Harper, that was rough. It's very good. It's a documentary about Will Ferrell. Well, not really about Will Ferrell. He's kind of a bystander. It's about this trans woman named Harper Steele, who used to be Andrew Steele, who, when I started, I went and looked at their filmography, like, they wrote, like, so much incredible stuff.
Wow.
Like, it's crazy. And, like, you never heard, he was, like, a writer on SNL, a head writer on SNL. Will Ferrell credits him with breaking out on SNL because nobody knew what to do with Will Ferrell once he was cast.
I looked them up while you're talking, and I definitely recognize them. Like, I think maybe from, like, SNL documentaries or something. I definitely recognize them.
Yeah, probably. But they wrote
Casa di Mi Padre, which I love that movie.
Basically all the weird Will Ferrell stuff that, like,
yeah.
Like, they wrote that, did you ever watch that Spoils of Babylon show?
Yes, I couldn't
get into it. I couldn't.
It was,
but
it
it's
was
another weird different. Will Ferrell thing.
Yeah, it was definitely a piece.
She wrote that movie I talked about before, A Deadly Adoption.
Yeah, I see that.
The Will Ferrell, Christina, or
and the, the
Kristen
Eurovision
Wiig.
Movie that I remember you said was pretty good.
I love that movie. I think it's great. Yeah, she wrote Ladies Man.
Ladies Man, yeah. Great.
What
movie.
A triumph.
What a career.
Yeah.
Like, hell yeah.
But it's a really good documentary. And like, basically, I forget. I think she came up with the idea and offered it to him, like back when she was younger, before she transitioned, before she had a family, because mm-hmm. she has two kids.
Okay.
She used to like just drive across the country herself all the time, like stopping wherever she wanted, going to like dingy, shitty bars, like, and nobody would ever bother. And she was like, "What? Can I still do that? What is that like now?"
Oh yeah, as a trans woman.
Yeah, as a trans woman who, has never experienced any of that. So Will Ferrell goes with her, and they meet up for the first time, and it's the first time Will Ferrell's seen her since she transitioned. And they go cross country from New York to LA, driving across the country, stopping at all these places.
Sounds interesting.
It is interesting. And like some places, and it's a documentary, but also, I don't know, you don't know how much is like set up and staged.
Well, sure. Yeah.
And how much is actual, like, legit. But like they go into this one bar and it's like, I forget where it was. It's like a hillbilly, like, MAGA bar. Like, literally, there's Trump shit all over the walls.
Yeah.
And she says, I'm going to go in first because I just want to see how I'm accepted. And then if I need you, I'll let you know. I'll let you know when to come get me. And if not, I'll just leave and come out and we'll go on our way. Will Ferrell's sitting outside waiting, like biting his knuckles, basically.
Sure. Of course.
And she goes in and like there's a bunch of people staring at her. And finally she sits at the bar and gets a drink. And some people just start talking to her like a normal person. And they just start having conversation. And she calls Will Ferrell in and they all have a great time. But you don't know how much of that shit is like set up.
I mean,
people are plants. Like you hope it's all authentic.
Hope it's all fit. Well, I think, I mean, I don't know. Far be it for me to know how people are. But I think a lot of times that, you know, I'm not breaking new ground here, but people's hatred is born out of ignorance for most things, right? So like, you know, this whole like Trump thing, like Trump literally has campaign ads that's like, Kamala Harris is she's for they, them, and he's for you or some shit. And it's just like, it's literally his entire campaign ad is like, aren't trans people gross? And I think that like all that hatred is in an abstract. Whereas if these people actually spent time with like trans people, they would just realize that they're just fucking people. You know what I mean? Like it's easy to like just put like a label on something that you don't understand and hate it. It's a lot harder to be like, I hate Jane. You know what I mean? I hate this person in my life. Or, you know, once you get like a more rounded view of a person. And I feel like with most of those people, I think they're just blindly following just like what they're uncomfortable with. And then they get that fucking echo chamber going and they're like, I hate this too. You know what I mean? Like, isn't this weird? Yeah, this is weird. And they don't think of people as people. They just think of it as this fucking idea that is counter to like their stupid ass, you know, traditional life, but they don't spend any time actually thinking about humanity behind these people. And I think that in most cases, and I could be completely wrong, if they're actually around these people, and you can apply this to any people that are different, that they, you know what I mean? If they had a family of migrants next to them, the same thing would apply. Like, oh, these people are just trying to live their lives. You know what I mean? Like it's,
yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I could be just very naive about this, but that's how I feel.
I mean, I think that you're right, but unfortunately 95% of people that think like that don't get the opportunity.
Oh yeah. Well, they purposely don't put themselves in those situations. 100%. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
But like The movie, I thought it was fantastic. It's like, it's one of my favorite movies of the year. Like,
how did you, watch this film?
It's on Netflix. It's a Netflix original.
Netflix. Netflix.
But I thought it was excellent. Like, I recommend it to everybody. And like, it's very light, but also very heavy.
Sure.
Like, they do a good job of tiptoeing the line of like Will Ferrell asking questions that are almost not obnoxious, but like seem like they might be childish, but also are legit questions that some people have or they would encounter something like this. Like, it's the first thing that goes to their head. And Harper literally said to him, like, ask me anything that you want. Like, no matter what you think, like, you're one of my best friends. If you have questions, I want to be able to answer them for you if I can.
Sure.
But like, overall, I thought it was excellent. It's one of my favorite movies of the year that I've seen.
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah. It stokes a lot of emotions, but it's a lot of fun. And I'll tell you, at the very beginning, I gotta have to watch it again. Will Ferrell makes a joke about something, and it's not like trans related.
Right.
But joke he made, I was like, oh, is this like gonna be a joke, like, documentary?
Right.
And I was worried that it was like, it's gonna be him being like a slapstick the whole time. But he's really not. He was like one thing at the beginning, and I can't remember what it was specifically.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever seen like Will Ferrell in like an interview. I have no idea what his actual like personality is like at all. Like, if I, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't watch that, and I'm sure there was like a lot of kind of jokiness to it, but there was that one documentary a few years ago where he played like minor league baseball.
Yeah.
Or it was spring training baseball, wasn't it?
Yeah. He played for like 10 teams in like 2 days or something like that. He like,
yeah,
went across the Cactus League.
Yeah, I'd like to watch that because, you know, I love baseball, but, or at least I used to. but I don't really know a whole lot about Will Ferrell. Like, I like Will Ferrell, but like, I don't know. He's not a guy that's like, anytime he's interviewed, he's always kind of, you know, being a character a little bit. So I never really get a read on his personality.
Yeah, and I think he does part of that on purpose.
Oh, sure. So absolutely. He's a comedian.
Yeah, people don't know who he is. But I highly recommend that. And that's all the movies I watch. I'm still working through Band of Brothers. Movies. I got like two episodes left of Band of Brothers.
Hell yeah.
And I'm going to shout out a show that I've talked about before, but I told Goggs about it. I had dinner with Goggs like a week or two ago and told him about it. He's like, oh, I've never heard of it. And I'm like, I've talked about this show.
My dinner like, with Goggs.
Yeah. Very fun. Very dry.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's a show I've talked about all the show before, but just people need to watch it. It's on Netflix right now. It used to be on Peacock. It's called Girls 5 Eva.
I remember you talking about this show.
It's so fucking good.
What's it about again? I don't remember. I remember you vaguely talking about it. I don't remember.
It's a girl band from like the height of girl bands, like the Spice Girls.
Oh, hell yeah.
But it's them like 25 years later, like the modern times. They split up. They all have different careers. One of them died.
Jeez.
And like, but then some rapper samples their song, so it brings them back together, and they start to decide if they want to like try music again. It's so goddamn funny.
Solid premise. I like the premise already. So.
It's like one of the funniest things that like we literally have not. It's only all three seasons together. I think are like 20 episodes or 22 episodes for everything.
Mm-hmm.
And like, we literally like, when we're not watching the middle of anything else, we watch this all the time. Like, it ends and we just start it right back over. It's so good. I've probably seen it like 5 or 6 times all the way through.
I'll have to check it out.
Anybody listening, check out Girls 5 Eva.
All right.
They're called Girls 5 Eva because Forever is just too short.
I like that.
It's so funny. But check it out. Like, you can watch all of it in like a day, pretty much, because it's like 20 half-hour episodes.
You sold me on the time commitment. So I've been watching a lot of anime recently, and The biggest reason is because most of it are 22 minute episodes. So it's just like, yep, in and out, done. I got things to do. I mean, not really, but in theory, I got to free up some time.
I need time to watch more other stuff.
Exactly. There you go. That's just it right there.
TJ.
Anything else? That's me. The only other person on the show. I only watched one thing, movie wise, but it's a big one. I watched Joker Folie à Deux, the sequel to Todd Phillips' Joker, and it's horrible. It's so bad. I said it on the TikTok page. Follow Movie the Podcast on TikTok. I don't know how this has been a really rough year for movies. I'm not going to go ahead and say 2024 is the worst year for movies, but like I can't remember in recent memory anyway, like so many like not just bad movies, but like huge train wreck films like this, The Crow, Madam Web, which Madam Web came out this year, dude. Doesn't it feel like that came out like 5 years ago? Like it's wild to me that Madam Web came out this year. This Megalopolis, like, oh my God, like dude, it's so bad. And like Joker 2 is everything that like when they announced it was going to be a musical, you're like, oh God. And it's worse than what anyone could have expected. Like it is the most shallow, like 5-page script you can imagine. And then they just stretch for time with these musical numbers. The musical numbers aren't, there's no reason for the musical numbers, which is the thing I have a big problem with. Like it's one thing if in the first film they were like Arthur Fleck loves musicals or he watches music. If there's like one scene in the first movie where like Arthur watched musicals with his mom or, you know what I mean? Or Arthur, instead of being like a failed comedian, was like a failed singer. You know, there's no reason for these musical interludes. And that bothers me a lot because it's lazy, right? It's just like, it's just like, we just put them in there. And it's like, well, why? There's no catalyst for it. And the bigger problem is that most of the musical numbers are, and again, I need to preface this by saying I hate musicals. Like I can't stand musicals. There's very rare exceptions that I like certain musicals, but like as a whole, I cannot stand musicals. Like the ones that I like are like the weird subversive ones. Like of course I like Team America.
And, Repo, Genetic Opera.
I do not care for that movie. You know, the Dancer in the Dark, I like a lot. The South Park movie, I like a lot, obviously. There's probably one big one I like Nightmare Before Christmas. I mean, that's a musical. But, like, in general, I just hate fucking musicals. And the musical numbers in this, most of them are just, like, regular scenes where characters are talking, and then they break out into song, and it's like... And the thing is that like, Joaquin Phoenix is not a singer, so he's not, and he's not like trying to sing either. So like most of the Arthur songs are just done in this like really off key deadpan, and that doesn't really work.
Yeah, he's a rapper. They should have rapped the ball.
That would have been way better. Yeah. And then the few that are like more like I said cinematic, but like more like grandiose. They're still kind of flat and boring. And again, they don't I know you haven't seen it, but there's a movie called Dancer in the Dark that I love. I think is a fantastic movie. It's super depressing, but it's about this worker. She works in this little like podunk town and she works in a factory. She's an immigrant and her son is going blind and she's trying to like get together the money to like get her son's operation so he can see. And shit just keeps going wrong in her life. And basically the whole thing is in that movie, they explain that she loves musicals because it's like escapism for her, right? Like she lives this very like humble, depressing life, but like through like old 50s musicals, like she's like, you know, it's escapism for her. So in the movie, the musical numbers represent like these horrible things that she doesn't want to confront, but they're done in this grandiose way. You know what I mean? Like, it's reflective of like what's going on in the film. And it has, you know, I wouldn't say like the deepest meanings, but it's interesting, right? Like, they went out of their way to like give you a reason for the songs. And not only that, but like the musical choices are interesting. And I mean, it helps because the lead actress in Dancer in the Dark is Bjork. So like, she can really sing. Ow. and she writes she wrote all the music. And, but again, you make a musical, like in this movie, like I'm not the biggest fan of her, but I think she's very talented. She's got a bunch of good songs. They got Lady Gaga. Lady Gaga can sing her ass off, and they like barely use her. And it's like, what? Like, why? Why did you do that? Like, why is Lady Gaga in this movie, but Joaquin Phoenix sings most of the songs? Like, what? Why did you hire her? Like, I don't understand.
I haven't seen it, and I'm probably not going to at this point.
Don't even waste your time, dude. I wouldn't even bother.
Like, for all the TikToks and stuff that I've seen, it feels like almost like Todd Phillips missed the point of his own movie.
Oh, well,
didn't understand why people liked the first one so much.
Well, I think that this movie actively is like, fuck you to the people that like the first, like literally, that is kind of the whole point of the movie, is that like, you know, Arthur Fleck isn't meant to be, you know, looked up to, and the whole like, you know, Joker as this icon of rebellion is kind of a farce and all that. And it's like, yeah, that's fine and all. And people keep pointing that out, people that are defending this movie. Like, it's not hard to figure out. Like, they basically tell you, they scream it in your face. And it's like, one of the things is that's like not the worst message to kind of deconstruct your first movie. But you don't have anything to say. You know what I mean? There's nothing to this fucking movie. And I gotta tell you, the biggest crime of this fucking movie is it's so fucking boring, dude. It is tedious. Like, I had to pee about an hour into this movie. And I literally, like, had this long thought of, I should just go home. Like, I've already seen what this movie has to offer. Like, you know, I'm still on my AMC stubs, so... You know, I didn't really pay for this, but I'm like, no, I'm going to stick it out. I'm going to watch the whole thing.
PJ, and, back on his Stubbs bullshit.
Oh, you know me, baby. I love that AMC Stubbs. I love when Nicole Kidman shows up right before that fucking movie. That's my girl right there.
Yep, her Stubbs account.
somehow heartbreak feels good here. But yeah, dude, this movie is so bad. Like, I would be shocked if anybody on the show likes this movie. Like, it is just so flat and dull. And it's just, I don't know. It kind of like, I think that the first Joker movie I enjoyed, I think it got a little overhyped and then it got a little overhated because when it first came out, there was a lot of positive reviews. And then as time went on, it's one of those movies that people have kind of soured on, which I think is kind of unfair. I think it's a movie that it got so hyped up and then the reaction to it was so huge that I think that you get that negative reaction. I think that the first movie is pretty good. I think that Joaquin Phoenix makes the movie in the first one. I think his performance is really, really strong. But
oh yeah.
But I don't think that this movie doesn't take anything that the first one did and makes it interesting. Like, it's just not interesting. It's just, and it feels like it's almost like a movie that's actively trying not to be interesting. Like, I don't know how to describe it. Like, it's just because I'll get into this and then we'll go into our feature. But when it's not a musical, it's a courtroom drama. So like, the whole movie is basically, it's in a prison cell or it's in a courtroom. So like, there's no nothing. Like, and the courtroom part is so fucking boring. And they take, like, there's a point where Arthur, it goes full Joker and decides that he's going to represent himself, which is fun, but that's what they should have done from the beginning. Cause that kind of makes it more interesting, but it, even that takes forever to get to. And then I don't know. It's just, I just did not care for this movie at all. And I was kind of hoping this is one of those that's like so fucking weird. There's something interesting about it, but it's just flat and dull. It's like what happens when a non-artistic person tries to make an artistic statement? And I feel like that's what it is. Like, Todd Phillips you know, we all were like, when he was announced for the first one, we're like, Todd Phillips, like the fucking old school guy, like he's going to make a job. But he did it. He pulled it off. Granted, he ripped off Martin Scorsese like crazy, but like whatever, it worked. This movie, he should have ripped some money off too, because I think this is his like pure idea. You know what I mean? This is like True Detective season one, right? True Detective season one was great because it's like highly plagiarized. And then Nick Pizzolatto, the guy that wrote it, got a bunch of shit for plagiarizing. What's his name? I can't think of his name right now. Thomas Ligotto. And then the second season came out and he couldn't plagiarize anybody. So then he made his own thing and True Detective season two is fucking horrible. And I think that's kind of like, that is the dichotomy of the Joker one and two. It's like the first one is great, but it's like highly, you know, it's basically like Martin Scorsese light. And then people are like, well, you kind of just ripped off King the Comedy and you kind of ripped off Taxi Driver. And I guess he's like, well, I'll show you guys. I'll make my own thing. And this is it. It's not great. Like, maybe go back to ripping people off, bro. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, maybe it's time to go to the AI art generator for your script. I don't know, man. Like, this shit is, it's rough, brother. It's rough.
Did they bring up the Thomas Wayne at all again?
No, thank God. That's the worst part of the first movie. Or no, actually, not the Thomas Wayne part, but I hate that part where he meets Bruce. That part of the movie could just be cut right out of the fucking, right out of the movie. No, Thomas Wayne doesn't get brought up, but Harvey Dent is in the movie. He plays the the prosecutor that got Arthur on trial. That's the only comic booky thing I can remember, like off the top of my head.
Who plays Harvey Dent?
Some guy, I don't know, some guy. I didn't recognize him from anything. But yeah, there's no other like inherent comic book thing going on in this movie, which is fine, honestly. I mean, obviously, like Lady Gaga plays Harley Quinn, but in this, like Harley Quinn is. They Rian Johnson'd us because, you know, famously, at least for most of the character's life, Harley Quinn was like a puppet of the Joker, right? Like she was obsessed with the Joker and the Joker kind of abused her. It was kind of a symbol of a toxic relationship. Well, guess what? In this movie, Harley Quinn is kind of abusive to Arthur and kind of leading him around. So they role reversed the toxic relationship. So, you know, good for them, I guess. I don't know. It still doesn't work. And it's like, you kind of did nothing with her character. I was really hoping for, I don't know, like, I was hoping they were going to do something interesting with Harley Quinn and they did not. And I don't know. Again, her character is just to reinforce the same tired message that the entire rest of the movie is, which is again, Arthur is not, you know, being the Joker is not this like great thing. And it brings up this cult of personality and yada, yada, yada. And who cares? Like, I don't know. Sucks. Movie's terrible. Do not waste your time. It's 2 hours and 20 minutes that you'll never get back. If you get a chance to watch it in like 1.5 speed, at least that way you don't waste as much time. But yeah, that's all I watched. I watched a bunch of anime, but we're not going to talk about anime, but there, if you want to watch some good anime, Netflix has got some great stuff right now. New Ranma 1/2 and this new series called Dan to Dan, which is fantastic. But Netflix doing the fucking one episode at a time thing. Get back. Stop doing that. Nobody wants that. Put the whole fucking series out. Like, I don't want to watch one episode. It's very annoying. But anyway, all right, let's get into ISS. I wish this movie was worse because I was really excited to say more like ASS, but I didn't think it was bad. No, but I'm going to, since Goggs is in here, I'm going to just do the plot summary real quick.
I'll go.
No, they don't have the message boards on, how the fuck? They don't have the message boards on, IMDb anymore, so Huggo is no more. But here we go. Tensions flare in the near future aboard the International Space Station as a conflict breaks out on Earth. reeling, the U.S. and Russian astronauts receive orders from the ground. Take control of the station by any means necessary. Very quick and to the point, and that really is the whole movie. Like, it is, they don't really waste a lot of time. They get right to it.
The movie is an hour.
Pretty short.
Hour 35.
It's pretty quick.
I would say within 10 minutes, it's to the point of the, like, nuclear conflict.
Yeah, and
like, it doesn't, like, waste time. Yeah, like, you get all the character building and relationship building you need within about 10 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, and to me, I think, for me anyway, I think it's a little bit to the movie's detriment, because I would have liked a little bit more with the characters and, like, how they're... I mean, I wish this was more of a morality play than it is. Like, it kind of is, but, like, they kind of fall in line very fast. And I think that is partially because of the runtime. Like, they don't have a lot of time to get shit done, so they just kind of blast through it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I also, like, I don't know how you felt, but, like, I thought that, like, one of the best parts of the movie and one of the most interesting parts of the movie, and I felt this way after watching the trailer, but the idea of being stuck in space while there's, like, a nuclear war happening on Earth, that's, like, very interesting. Like, I love that idea. Yeah. I loved, there's a part where the one guy, Gordon, is doing, like, a spacewalk, and he looks out, and just the fucking Earth is just, like, cooked. And I'm like, that's awesome. Like, that's like, that alone, like, we were talking about how this movie isn't, like, you know, definitionally, like, a horror movie, but that in itself, like, that image is, like, horrific, right? Like, because you're just fucked. You're just stuck in, you know, orbit or whatever, and this cooked planet's underneath you. Like, that is super fucking interesting. But I would have liked a little bit more of, like, the drama of, like, I don't know, again, I do this too much, but I would have liked the drama of, like, what the hell's happening on Earth, like, if the shit they're getting isn't just some kind of, like, fail safe that there's not even anybody down there, you know what I mean? Like it's a transmission, but, like, the transmission is done by, like, a computer. You know what I mean? I kind of thought that's where the movie was going. Like, I thought that they would find out at the end. Yeah, like, that,
if whatever, like, is triggered, then that means the nuclear bomb has gone off, and this is what we send to the...
Right. Like, I would have liked a little bit more drama as to, like, Earth and, like, the relationship between Earth and them. But that's kind of, like... I don't know. I guess that's more of, like, the fucking Twilight Zone shit that I always want in my horror stories. You know what I mean? Like, I kind of thought, like, if you'd asked me how I thought the movie was going to end by when I turned it on, I thought that it would have been a lone survivor. And then after they had, you know, after all the carnage has happened in the space station and everybody's dead, they would have realized that, like, their people on Earth are dead too, and they did it all for nothing. And they also, I would have had them trapped in the space station. I wouldn't have had them get out. Like, I would have, like, I don't know, in the course of the movie, somebody would have, you know, let the fucking escape thing go or whatever, and they would have just been fucking stuck up there and died, like, fucking Ex Machina style. You know what I mean?
Yeah, if nobody can have it. If we can't have it, nobody's can.
Exactly. Something like that. But that's not what happens. We're not going to go, like, beat for beat, but basically, it's just a series of, this is so hard without Goggs. He's so good at this. But it's just a series of once both sides get the orders, each of them kind of grapple with what they're going to do. And the American side, their commander, the guy Gordon that does the spacewalk, he doesn't tell them right away, like, what he's been told. The Russian side, he tells them pretty quick. He tells them, like almost right away.
Yeah.
But the U.S. guy doesn't tell them what it is. And I feel like he doesn't tell them until pretty late. Like, maybe, does he tell them before the spacewalk? I forget why he does that.
It's before the spacewalk. Because when he gets back from the spacewalk,
he almost dies. He gets I'll talk about terrifying to be, like, fucking flung out into space, just forever. Like, that is fucking horrific to think about.
Yeah, you may as well just pop your helmet off and let your head blow up.
Yeah, fucking Total Recall style.
He tells them before he goes on the spacewalk, I guess just so they know in case he doesn't.
Right.
In case he doesn't come back.
And he goes out on the spacewalk because the Russian guy tells him that the antenna is damaged, or like the radio is damaged or something, if I remember
correctly. So they both get these orders, and the camera pretty much stays with the Americans more than the Russians.
Yeah.
It doesn't really tell you a lot about what the Russians are talking about or deciding. The Americans pretty much decide, well, we're not going to do anything unless they do. Like, we're not going to take over or like take them out or anything. And you're not sure about what the Russians, motives are, because you see them talking about it, but the movie does a good job of going between subtitles when they want you to know something.
Yeah.
And then not giving you subtitles. They want it to be ambiguous.
And also, like, it's worth pointing out that these people aren't like soldiers. They're all scientists. Like, all of them are just, they're different kinds of scientists. So.
But turns out one of the Russians is 100% on board with following through, which.
Easily. Yeah.
Taking over the space station. And like, it seemed like there was some like trepidation, but that was all false. He was ready to rock like immediately.
Yeah. Like, there's always one guy that's just evil. That's just super evil. And, he had no qualms about it, pretty much straight away. Everybody else, was kind of broken up about it, but.
Yeah, so he lied about their antenna being broken. So the American commander went out to fix the antenna. Then they cut his radio while he was out there. The Russians did. So he couldn't communicate back that the antenna was fine. The Russians were lying. One of the Russians was lying. Both sides have two men and a woman.
Yeah.
The Russian woman and the American commander have a relationship, or at least the beginnings of a relationship.
Yeah.
So when she finds out that he's been kind of left out there to die, she goes nuts and threatens to explode the whole space station to just kill all of them. The cowardly American braves her with a CO2 canister, like, crushes her skull before she can light up the torch to ignite the pure O2 that they have. So he kills her. The commander ends up not being dead. He comes back and he kills the guy who tried to kill him.
Yeah, because the one Russian guy, he ends up extending like the space arm or whatever, and he saves the American commander.
Yeah.
But only for him to come back and immediately get killed. Instantaneously, he's stabbed and dead. Yeah.
In an awful way.
Yeah. Oh, God.
He gets like drilled with a drill like into his liver while he, what's that movie? Wolf Creek, the head on a stick.
He head on a stick
the guy with a pen at the same time. And they both die.
That shit is brutal.
So then we're left with the female American astronaut, the male cowardly American astronaut, and a Russian astronaut who was the medium level of evil.
Right.
Because he did one semi-evil thing.
But then he felt bad about it.
He regretted it. He tried to make up for it.
Yeah.
Who I could not get over the fact that it was a Euron Greyjoy.
The whole time I'm like, why do I recognize
so
this guy?
Goddamn evil in Game of Thrones, like I couldn't reconcile like
that's funny
him I, being I, like apologetic or like remorseful.
I literally could not place that man. I like the whole time I'm like, he looks very familiar, and that's you're absolutely right, that's exactly who that was. Good old Euron Greyjoy.
So then we're down to three astronauts, and they're just kind of the life support's going in and out. They're just kind of biding their time until it's time to die. And the cowardly American one goes nuts and tries to kill the other two, and they kill him instead. And then they get in their escape craft.
Yeah.
To which the speakers on both sides are simultaneously an American and Russian saying,
yeah, we will only take
care of our person.
Yeah,
all others will be exterminated.
You're basically fucked either way.
Where do we go? And then
I think the last line of the movie is, where are we going? And they're like, I don't know. Like, it's just like, yeah. I mean, the ending, I thought the ending was like a little weak. Like I felt like I like the overall like resolution. Like I like the whole, again, like I don't know what's going to happen. Like when we get on Earth, but I wish that got examined a little bit more. I don't know. Like I said, I would have much rather had like no one escape. I think that's a better ending to me.
But. Yeah, I would have rather it ended before they got in the pod. I just leave the two of them there, like with the body, just like, okay, that's it. But I'm glad they didn't like take it all the way to Earth, because like they hadn't showed the Earth at all before that.
Yeah.
So if they didn't like show it earlier in the movie, I don't want to see it like right.
Well, if Sean was here, I'm doing the finger thing. Like, I don't think they had the money to show you what fucking Earth looked like. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
that was probably why. It was probably
the effects they used for what it looked like from space were tremendous.
Yeah, the space stuff looked great. The few
all the effects.
Like, yeah, I thought so. The external space shots look really good too. I thought
they did a really good job of, and I don't know that this is true, but it's how like I think as like an American, how I think of like the American space program versus the Russian. Mm-hmm. Like when you're looking at the different cameras and stuff, through the Russian cameras versus the American ones, like the American ones are way more crisp detailed, while the Russian ones are like a little older. They're kind of like green, like have been updated. Probably need it. Good cleaning.
They're using that old tech.
Little details like that. The woman who directed this, I was looking at her stuff. She only directed like seven things.
Seven things?
One of the things she directed was, did you ever see Blackfish?
No.
The documentary about the killer whales.
The SeaWorld documentary? Yeah, I've seen that.
She directed that like 10 years ago.
Huh. It's a really good documentary.
Yeah, it's like one of the best documentaries.
Yeah, and it makes me want to abolish SeaWorld. Like, get rid of SeaWorld. Why do we have SeaWorld?
Yeah, they should.
Abolish everything.
Abolish people.
That's my political leaning. Just abolish everything. Abolish every institution, please. I'll let the podcasters rule. It's the podcasters' time.
But none of the actors were really, like, known in this. I recognize Euron Greyjoy, and then the American Commander has been in a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
He's not really, like, ever, like, a lead. He's always, like, a secondary character. I didn't recognize any of the other people from anything.
The guy that played, like, the cowardly American guy, I've definitely seen that guy and stuff before, but, like, not... He's just like a guy. Like he's like a, like I feel like I couldn't place him, but I've definitely seen him in stuff like TV and stuff. So, but yeah, there's no like big name in this movie at all.
No, I didn't look at like budget and box office. Like, I wonder if it was even released.
It was wildly released. I'm surprised this got a theatrical release, to be honest, because I remember seeing the trailers for this a while back, like when this came out. I think we even talked about it on the show briefly. But this like screams like Netflix movie, and it's shocking to me that it got a fucking, it got a theatrical release.
Didn't do great.
Let's see. Here.
$6.6 million box office on a budget of 13.8.
Ouch. Yeah, that's not good.
No.
That is not good. Damn, I should have just, why didn't I just do the plot summary on the Wikipedia? This is an enormous, that could have just been the whole show. Who writes all this shit?
So this was a Blacklist script.
Really?
That's from 2020.
Well, that's interesting. This was a movie that just, it was been trying to be made for probably since the 80s, if I had to guess. You know, the Cold War thing and all. All right. Anything else you want to talk about? It finished on its opening weekend. It finished 7th at the box office. Ouch. Mm-hmm. That's, top 10, right?
Yeah.
Hey, there you go. Silver lining. Anything else we want to talk about before we get into Five Knuckle Shuffles?
I don't really think so.
Yeah, no, me neither. All right, Al, go ahead.
I'm going to give it a 7.
Yes. That's the correct score.
I liked this movie a lot. I enjoyed it a lot. I thought it was, really good, especially for like the budget and like the scope. The budget versus the scope. And the director's ability to tell a good story when really she hasn't directed much or anything like fiction.
Yeah.
So look at her. She has she's done six movies, 3 documentaries, 3 real movies. Real movies, 3.
Oh, I agree. Like, no, documentaries are not real movies. I agree. Team Alec on that one. But, make a real movie, suckers.
Yeah, I thought this was, I thought it was very enjoyable. It's very tense. I probably wouldn't pick it in retrospect just because the subject is not a horror movie.
And like, it was kind of sold as a horror movie.
Yeah. I felt like, like you kind of thought it was like going to be like darker and more.
Even the cover looks more like a horror movie cover. Like, I definitely thought it was going to be more of a horror movie than that.
But, I did really enjoy it a lot. Yeah. I thought it was a lot of, not necessarily fun, but it was gripping and it had my attention held, rapt attention the entire time. Like, I paid attention to it because I didn't want to miss anything.
Well, and that says a lot because usually that the phone is out, you know. So
yeah, it's tough.
trust me. There's most of the time. I mean, this sounds silly, but like the reason I go to the movie theater so often is because like the theater almost forces me to turn my phone off and put it in my pocket so I don't feel like an asshole. Like. I mean, when I watch a movie at home, even when I'm invested in that movie, I still, sometimes my eyes still creep to that damn phone. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, like, but in the theater, you know, I got to turn the fucking phone off. I don't want to be I don't want to be that guy with my fucking phone on. Like dogs. How'd I say that, Ellen? But anyway.
Well, no, what movie was it? I forget what movie it was that we went to go see, but I wasn't sitting right next to you guys.
Oh,
you
yeah.
Said he was like on his phone, like
yeah,
during the movie.
Like, it was a while ago, but yeah,
I can't remember what movie it was.
And there's few things that irritate me as much as people on their damn phone in the movie. Like what you're at the movies, like turn your fucking phone off. You don't need to have your phone off.
Oh, you know what that guy was from? The coward guy. Hmm. I haven't seen it, but he was in 10 Cloverfield Lane.
How did I forget that? He's the other guy in the bunker.
I haven't seen that.
Oh, you should watch that. That's a good ass movie. Right. I like that movie. Okay. I can't believe I didn't pick that up.
But yeah, I'll give it a 7. Eagles.
That would be me. I am, also, it's a 7 for me, dog. It's also going to be a 7 for me, dog. I like this movie. This movie, I'm going to co-sign on what Alex said. This movie does a lot with a little. And I felt like while I feel like some more points would have been allocated if I felt like they could have expanded on the story a little bit. I also think that the limited scope of what they were doing, like I don't know. To me, like, a little part of me wants a more, like, exploitation style movie of this. Like, I would have liked to see them get a little bit more violent. Like, it's funny because this is put out by Bleecker Street, which also put out the Belko Experiment, which is a movie I really liked. And I guess maybe I was just thinking of the Belko Experiment while I was watching this. Because I also thought maybe that this was all going to be like a big fucking test. Like, I thought this was going to be one of those, like, good job. You know, this is a fucking Lord of the Flies thing. Like, you know,
wow.
You know what I mean? Like, they send a transmission and be like, oh, you know, they're, but I don't know how you'd have faked that. I mean, I guess it'd have been like, what's that movie Pandorum, where you find out that, like, at the end that, like, they're all just, it's all just fucking a simulation or whatever. Yeah, like something like that. But I guess that would also kind of make it way more science fiction than it intended to be. But overall, I thought that the performances were really good. I liked the tension of the film. I felt like it did ramp up the tension. And I liked the ever fleeting, but I really liked all the shots outside of the space station. Like, I really thought the shots of Earth were super cool. And I liked all the, like, I'm a sucker for all the fucking, like, guy out in space shit. Like, I always think that just looks cool. I mean, like, I didn't really care for the movie. I know a lot of people really loved it, but I didn't really like Gravity all that much. But I loved, like, all of the space shit in Gravity. You know, if that makes any sense. Like, I like watching people float in a little room. Like, I just think that shit's kind of cool. Like, I'm a sucker for it. And I like if there's a guy in an astronaut suit, I'm probably going to at least like it a little bit. I don't know. I'm like a little kid in that way. So yeah, it's 7 for me, dog. Good movie. Good movie. Not great, but a good movie. All right. So next week, it's going to be my pick. And this month is, Scary Movie October.
Yeah.
I'm going to pick a movie. I'm going to kind of cheat a little bit and pick a movie that I've been meaning to watch for a couple of weeks now. I'm going to pick, 2024's Strange Darling, which is like a serial killer movie, I think. And the cinematographer on this movie is Giovanni Ribisi, of all people. It's getting really good reviews, and I've been really excited to watch it, and I figure why not watch it on the show, and that way everybody can enjoy it. And it's on the Plex, so I've already put it on there, so even less work for me. So, So next week, Strange Darling. So this is your buddy TJ and your buddy Alec signing off to the lecherous traitors Sean and Goggs, who are probably, I don't know, stealing things from children. I don't know, whatever they do. They're lecherous is what they are. Lecherous, horrible people. But anyway, you know the drill. Eat your own ass. See you guys later, and bye-bye.